Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, my guest is Anna P. Anna is a retired IT writer who spent decades developing technical documentation and managing publications departments for software companies. She also freelances as a ghostwriter, crafting nonfiction books and creating content for technology clients and scientific thought leaders. After a long career in the tech world, Anna took an extraordinary turn, embracing her gifts as a psychic medium. Anna's paranormal encounters began when she was still a baby in her crib. As a child, she experienced visions, night terrors, and prophetic dreams that predicted future events. She suffered from frequent severe nosebleeds and was tormented by a force that shook her bed every night for over a decade. At age 14, Anna discovered her mediumship abilities while playing with a Ouija board, a terrifying experience that haunted her entire family for years. Throughout her life, she has witnessed phenomena such as apparitions, ghostly knocks and voices, orbs, black shadow animals, the overshadowing used by negative entities during psychic attacks, and more. Anna's lifetime of interpersonal and anomalous trauma drew her to metaphysical studies in the late 1980s. She began practicing meditation in her 30s, which led to a dramatic Kundalini experience and a development of soul travel abilities. Anna has been a master-level practitioner of two distinct energy healing modalities for the past 25 years. Today, she lives in Arizona and immerses herself full-time in writing and psychic mediumship. So, without any further ado, Anna P., welcome to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Thank you, James. It's an honor to be here. I've been a fan for a long, long time.
Oh, thank you. Well, the honor and the pleasure is all ours. Please, it's a lot to unpack there. That's quite a resume. Just start from the beginning. Tell us about your childhood and how that all transpired.
I was born into a family that had a lot of issues, let's just say. And as a result, there was a lot of trauma. And I believe all that trauma had a big hand in creating who I am. But also, of course, there was the innate abilities, and that became really evident when I was a baby in the crib already. I was experiencing strange things, but of course, I had no context and I didn't know it wasn't normal. So it wasn't until I started asking my mother about it as I, became a toddler, a little older, then, she would just be very dismissive. She didn't want to talk about that stuff, And but I would, I would lay in bed and I would see these like, fairy, I used to call them fairy lights. There's like little lights that went around the room. It was almost like if you've ever been in the desert on a clear night and you look up at the sky and it's just loaded with stars. It was like that. The room is dark black, and I just saw these like points of light. And they were all like different colors, pinks and greens and blues and yellows, and they would move around. And I noticed that I could telepathically communicate with them, and I could like pick one out and sort of recognize it in my mind, and then I could control how it moved. So that was pretty cool. And then more scary stuff started happening as I got a little older, and there were creepy things in my room, things in corners, seeing ghostly figures sitting in the chair in the corner of my bedroom. Oh, it, you know, and it just kind of went from there. It was a lot as a little kid. And then prophetic dreams started happening where I would predict the deaths of people in the family. It was always something negative. That was the thing. It was so bad. And after that, oh, that was sort of just like intermittent. And then in between all that, there were constant nosebleeds as a kid, and they were very severe. I missed a lot of school. And at one point, my parents decided, well, she's got to go see a specialist because this is no good. So I was losing a lot of blood. So they took me to a ear, nose, and throat guy, and they cauterized my nose, and then they did it a second time because the first one didn't really do it. So it was like, let's do both sides. And after that, I still had nosebleeds, but I wasn't missing school with them anymore. They were much lighter, but it was a ongoing thing that went probably like throughout my from little kid, like elementary school until I can remember them being into my early 20s, but not as much as when I was younger. So that was another thing. I mean, it could, you know, I suppose you could explain it with, you know, medically, but but it's just weird. You know, it was just one of those other weird things. And, yeah, the night terrors were another thing as a kid that were constant. And I used to have these horrendous dreams of these demonic things. And I thought, you know, as an adult, I started thinking about that. And I thought, well, maybe I was seeing that because I was raised Catholic. And that was sort of something that I would have, you know, thought of as being a creepy thing or our demon as a little Catholic girl. But now I don't know. I feel differently about that. I think those things tend to change and shapeshift. And we're just when you think you figured them out, they turn into something else. So I don't know what they were, but I know that as a kid, every night for night after night, I would be dreaming of being in hell. And on the other side, like I was on one side of this like wrought iron fence, and on the other side were these demons, and they'd be pacing back and forth. And I just remember terrified, and I wake up screaming, and it got to the point where my father couldn't get any sleep, and he decided he wanted to sleep in my bed in my room and let me sleep with my mother, thinking that that was going to solve the problem, but it didn't. So yeah, so that's been that pretty much plagued me most of my life. And I still have some of those terrifying dreams, but as a kid, they were just, it was just ridiculous, like constant. And I would wake up all sweaty and my heart pounding. It felt very, very real.
Was there evidence of similar experiences or abilities with your family members or with your mom, for example?
Interestingly, my father had, he used to say to me, oh, you know, I got ESP. And he wasn't a very educated man or anything like that. He worked a blue collar job. And so he didn't really get into it, but he used to just tell me he had ESP, and he said, oh, you got it from me. And then he would occasionally tell us about dreams that he had that he felt were, you know, prophetic. It wasn't very often, but sometimes he would get the dreams, and when he got them, he knew they were different, and he knew that whatever was happening in that dream was, it meant something. And again, his usually predicted death as well. So it's pretty dark.
Do you ever have any precognitive dreams that didn't involve death, like some dreamt about some mundane thing that came to pass or thing?
Yes, yes.
Improbable, but it happened anyway.
Yeah, several times. And I think the most really unusual and dramatic one was, I mean, it's about 8 years old. And I had to go to the dentist to get a tooth pulled. And for whatever reason, I had to, couldn't go to my regular dentist. I had to go to a guy that could do extractions. And the night before I had that, I'd never been to this doctor in my life. I'd never been to the office. I didn't know anything about it. The night before, I had a dream that I was in the dentist chair in this office, and everything, you know, there's a lot of detail in the office, the dentist chair. There was conversation going on between the dentist and the hygienist or the assistant or whatever she was. And I just woke up. I was like, wow, this is really weird. You know, why am I dreaming about that? And later that morning, went to the dentist, and I found myself in the lobby that looked exactly like the one I dreamed. And then I got into the dentist chair, and they gave me gas. But as they were putting me under, I heard the conversation between the two, the dentist and the assistant. It was exactly verbatim what I heard in my dream. So that one was kind of, that was bizarre.
Well, it underscores the fact that time is not linear, that somehow an aspect of our consciousness can slip out of this linear time continuum and go into the future, like you just described. Now, you mentioned prophetic dreams. were any of them, even up in the adult years, did they have anything to do perhaps with ongoing events, things that are happening now, a revelation type visions?
Yeah, no, I know people have those. I have never had those. I've never had what those disaster dreams or dreams like that other people have. I don't know if I should be grateful or if I should be jealous, but I've never had them. So no. Mm-mm.
No dreams about zombies or anything like that.
No, just the demonic ones.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, take us through
and
your...
being chased.
Oh,
by
really?
Something.
By something.
Yeah, yeah. That used to happen a lot, where I was being chased by something I couldn't see, but I knew it was scary and frightening, and if they got me, it was going to be really bad. But I never knew what was going to happen to me. I just knew I had to get away. And those dreams were quite frequent as well.
Have you ever had UFO sightings or anything that you may have associated with ETs or UFOs?
Personally, I've never seen one. I've never seen one. I have had some weird dreams around that, which are actually more recent than not so much as a kid. But I have not ever, sighted a UFO or seen an alien that I know of or anything like that.
But somehow you have these abilities. I'm sure they're, excuse me, something about your genetic profile and your lineage has enabled you to retain these psi abilities that... For most people is laying somewhat dormant, but it's still active at least in your family tree and with you. So how have you been able to apply the abilities in your regular life? You mentioned that you were doing mediumship as well.
I do that now. To be honest, when I had the experiences as a kid, it went dark very fast. It went terrifying very fast. And by the time I was in my teens, it just seemed like every experience I had was negative and dark and terrifying. And again, I kind of chalked that up to the trauma, as it was in an environment where I'm sure there was a lot of dark entities. There was mental illness. There was alcoholism. There was negative stuff. And I don't have to tell you that draws them. And I feel that because I was in that kind of an environment, I was subjected to a lot of those things, and they probably saw something in me that they wanted to actually ruin or take down or make it so that I didn't have the abilities that I had. So, yeah, that is the only thing that I remember. Was the abilities came, they came in sort of layers. Whereas it started out with the, seeing things and being able to kind of like mentally move things. And then the thing with the, I think I mentioned to you privately about the shaking bed phenomena, which went on for, oh gosh, I don't know when it started. I would have been in grade school or younger probably. And it went till into my 20s, and it was completely, independent of location. So it didn't matter if I was sleeping in my own bed or if I was sleeping somewhere else or in college even, or if I was over a friend's house. Although there were certain environments where I could almost guarantee it wouldn't happen. But if I was in a bed by myself that wasn't being shared with, my mother, with another sleepover, a kid at sleepover, then it would be happening. And I could pretty much count on that to be happening. And it would always start out with this, I was always terrified in bed. I'd have the covers up over my head, and I had my arms pinned down because I was afraid something was going to touch me. And, so I would just lay there in terror. And, as I lay there trying to go to sleep, I would notice this like subtle shaking of the bed that would start up. And it was so subtle. It was as if like somebody took a knee to the bed, to the mattress, and they were just like kind of rocking it a little bit. But it wasn't like a human thing, because with the human, if a human were doing that, they would be, it would not be as regular. But this was so, this was just, you could precise, you know, this precise, rhythmic thing that just, it would go. And then occasionally, sometimes it would stop for a few seconds and, or a minute or longer. And I noticed over time that I was able to, whenever I thought about it, it would start back up again. So I noticed this very interesting correlation. I wasn't thinking about it, but if I, you know, and it wasn't happening, but if I thought about it, it would immediately start to happen. And it would continue. It wasn't anything like a train going by or tunnels. There's nothing, you know, not where we live. There was nothing like that. And anyway, there's like no thing that I can think of that would create that kind of like a pulse. It was just too, almost, you know, like you would need a machine to create a pulse that's rhythmic and precise like that. And it was very binary. It was either on or it was off. It never went slow. It never went fast. But, it would terrify me, because I'd be laying there. And as soon as it started, I would feel something come in the room. I knew something was in the room. And the presence was there. I always knew, like, it was behind me and like to my left. And I wouldn't dare look over there, because I knew I'd see something. And I would just, you know, lay there and pray and try to go to sleep. And then finally, before I fell asleep many, many nights, I remember hearing this really weird, like, sound in my head. It was like a high pitched hum, almost like a bee or something. And it didn't sound mechanical. I mean, it almost sounded digital or something, but I wouldn't have known what that was when I was a little kid. But now, in retrospect, and as I recall that sound, it reminded me then of the sound that when the TV went offline at night, and they'd go, you know, they would, around midnight or whenever, that they went off the air, and it would make that kind of like dead air sound. It was like that in my head. And then I would immediately remember, like, I didn't remember anything after that. That was it, like the sound, and then I was out.
Yeah, like a white noise type of sound.
Mm-hmm, very much so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, Betty Andreessen, in one of her experiences, talked about, and not to say that what you just described had anything to do with ETs, but she talked about, and other abductees have talked about, a buzzing sound associated with either the arrival of a craft or, you know, a manifestation of certain ET groups, was presaged, if you will, by this buzzing kind of sound. And the rhythmic motion also, that's very interesting, where it's not a random thing. It's kind of like a pulsing. Did you feel like a vibration or something in your body, your chest cavity?
You know, that it's interesting that you bring that up, because I, as I got older, I started kind of like, I'm going to scientifically test this, you know, to the best level of my kid ability. And I would try holding my breath. I would try like listening for my heartbeat to see if it was syncing with my heartbeat. I would try all these different things to see if it was anyhow physical connected with my body in any way. And it never was. It was completely independent of everything. So I could hold my breath. It's still shaking. I could listen to my heartbeat, but that was a different cadence than the shaking. So that was very disturbing. And particularly when it wasn't happening, and if I just for a moment thought, oh, it's not happening, immediately it would start. So that was like torture for a kid.
You mentioned that you had the ability to see, and I take it that meant like etheric third eye vision.
Yes.
Like negative entities overshadowing people. Are you able to see if someone is a host that's carrying around an entity?
I see that now as an adult. That's not something that I was aware of seeing when I was a kid. In particular, I notice it with people when there's a very sudden mood shift with someone. And it almost always is like preceded by sort of a electrical feeling in the air. And then this very strange kind of sudden mood shift where they become very angry or, you know, enraged or, you know, and it comes out of almost nowhere. And then as that progresses, and if they get, you know, they're into their raging and they're into their whatever they're doing, I can see them if I'm, you know, face to face with the person. I would typically will see their eyes will turn black and not the whites. I know some people have seen that, like with people that have the black eye kits, but this is just like the irises. And so it goes like completely black and then they get bigger. They get bigger than normal size. And in addition to that, I will sometimes, maybe half the time, maybe a little more than half the time, I will see like an overlay over the face. And that's hard to explain because there's nothing that I can equate it to. When I try to describe this to people, I say, imagine if you had like a picture of a monster that was printed onto some cellophane. And you put that, like, say it's life's like human life face size, right? And you put that cellophane on a window. And then you had somebody stand on the other side of the window. So you would see there, you could still see their face underneath, but over that, there is this like a layer of this monstrous, hideous thing. So you see the black eyes and you see, but it's very sheer. It's very filmy. And that's how I tend to see them when they manifest. I've also seen, in particular, with a family member of this like black, it's not an aura, it's like a black entity cloud that would show up around, he always had it around his head and like his shoulders. And if I looked directly face to face at him, I couldn't see it. But out of the corner of my eye, I could see him sitting in the chair. He always had this black, smoky, you know, just kind of amorphous, but very dark. And you could feel the presence too. You could feel there was something attached. So it manifests in different ways that I've seen.
Over time, have you noticed this phenomena with more people, or has it stayed pretty much at the same level?
I've seen it, interestingly, the most I've seen it were was with people that I knew very well or that were in my family, which was really interesting. So just like some random strangers and things like that. I typically don't see that, but I will get very strong feelings about darkness. Like I can sense that there's darkness attached to someone. Say it's like random person in the store or something like that, and I can sense it. I don't walk around open. I'm very careful. I know a lot of people that haven't trained themselves, they will, you know, walk around open. But when you train yourself as a psychic medium, you open when you want to open and you shut down when you want to shut down. So as a kid, I walked around open because I didn't know. But as I learned, you know, more, I learned how to control those things. So I think I just don't see them that much because I don't intentionally walk around open. Although sometimes something is so, you know, dramatically bad that it'll, you know, you can feel it and you can see some things there. Usually you can see it in the eyes. They don't look right. You've probably seen that too.
Yeah. And how about when you see, like on TV or on a video somewhere, some well-known negative person like a Hillary Clinton or a Fauci or a Gates, do you, aside from looking at them and knowing that there's some kind of weird hybrid because they don't look like us, do you get a similar yeah. vibe from them? Because the same thing happens like when I look at videos of these foaming-at-the-mouth leftists, I can just see the rage and the negativity just pouring out of their pores.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do see that. I have to say there's some that I can't even look at. I mean, literally, Obama. is one, I cannot look at his face. I get a visceral reaction when I look at his face or see his voice. And I don't think it has anything to do with like he's any worse than the rest of them. But for whatever reason, I really cannot, I can't stand to look at him. I have to shut it off. But the other ones, I do tend to sometimes see like a shape shifting or like a morphing of the face. If I watch them talking and you can see this sort of a monstery look that again overshadows, but it doesn't, because I guess because it's on the screen, I don't see that sort of dimension, doesn't have that dimensionality to it because I don't see like the overlay as separate from the actual face. I just sort of see it all together, and you start to see these people looking, you see things like, why does there suddenly get this devilish eyebrow look? Or there's things that change in their face when I look at them that I can tell there's something going on there.
Has that effect become more pronounced over time? There's a school of thought, and I think there might be something to this, where due to whatever changes are happening, galaxy or universe wide, whether these reptilian hybrids or similar beings of the non-human variety, they're either having a more difficult time holding their shape, or like the arrogance and smugness is such that now they don't really care if they allow us to have a glimpse of what they truly are. And a quick point about Obama, I've seen video, which has since been scrubbed out of YouTube, of his whole family, his two adopted daughters, right? Him, Michael, and the two adopted daughters, and they were at some kind of function in the White House somewhere, and they were all shape-shifting radically. I mean, turning into like the real monstrous, not even reptilian, just some kind of monstrous beings. And it reminded me of accounts of Justinian, the emperor from the Byzantine Emperor of Rome, Empire of Rome, where it was said that at night he would, you know, stalk the halls of his palace and would just morph into a scary monster and just scare the hell out of the servants and staff and what have you.
Whoa. Never heard that. That's incredible. Yeah, I have to say I have seen, I don't see the manifestation necessarily always physical, but I, like I said, I do feel it or I sense it, or even over, you know, even on Facebook or something, I get the additional on top of the words that are there. I will get sort of like a download of information about a certain person or whoever, especially if they're combative or hostile. And it becomes, we're looking at pictures, you know, looking at somebody's profile picture or whatever online, in just seeing people day to day, I see a lot. And it's not just the ones that are, you know, drugged out and walking down the street tweaking or whatever, but these are just everyday people that are, you know, everywhere you go. And the thing that I have to say that I've seen the most in terms of more even than the appearance changing is this horrific narcissistic behavior, which to me is classic, that reptilian hosted stuff. I mean, it's just evil personified. I have had numerous long-term relationships like that, had a family relationships like that, and it is soul sucking. And now I see it so quickly, you know, it's just almost like quickly to identify. I pick up on that energy probably faster than almost anything else, because it is so non-human like, and there is just way more, like in the past 10 years, way more. I've never seen so much as I see now of that.
Have you seen an increase since the rollout of the so-called treatments?
What I have noticed most since then is cognitive dissonance in people that receive the treatments, their inability to rationalize the way they used to. I knew some people that were very analytical, very smart before they ended up getting treated. And they They just seem to lose their ability to do that. They seemed very much, I don't know. It's like they're dreamy or something. They don't seem like they're fully functioning anymore. There's something about them.
Kind of like spaced out. Kind of like spaced out.
Yes, spaced out, disconnected. It feels like, and they're not rational anymore. Yeah, and you can't even have conversations with them, it seems like, because they really lose it very quickly. But that cognitive dissonance is very strong, and I tend to notice that they tend to be more aggressive too, where they will attack people who are different. And that seems just very, very recent, you know, since that treatment schedule started coming out, I've noticed a huge uptick. And like, what is wrong with people? Why are they so spaced out?
And also what we see from the school systems, the baneful effect it has on people, to be sure, some element of the people inducted into the cultural Marxism in the schools, they already are predisposed, if you will, towards that kind of indoctrination and programming through genetics or some kind of spiritual attachment, whatever the case may be. But also the quick transition from people that were quote unquote normal, right? You see this pretty amiable young gal goes to college, and then within a relatively short time, the radical changes in her appearance, behavior. It's like a complete transformation occurs. So there's something about the institutions themselves that create these people, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And we're seeing it, especially in the colleges now, right? Where these young people, they go in one way and they come out completely like radicalized and unable to think. They just parrot back these, you know, whatever they're being told. Today I got blocked on Twitter by somebody for something like that. You know, that's their problem, but it's amazing to me how reactive people are, that they cannot have a discussion with someone about something. If there is a difference of opinion, there's no room for debate anymore. It's an attack, immediately attack, cut off, hate. And in it's so sad in the schools, because I see them coming out where they're just so programmed and they don't seem to even realize it. And I even see it here. There's no colleges where I live, but I see it around town where I live, and the younger, especially the high school kids, when the high school lets out and I watch them walking out of the school and across the street or whatever at the end of the day. And I just like, what? They look like zombies. There's something seriously not right with the children today. And not all of them, but an awful lot of them, where they're completely detached. They don't seem to have human qualities, in the sense of, you know, it used to be that people would hold the door open for a kid, would hold the door open for an adult, or, you know, that now they don't do that. They'll cut you off. They're walking in front of you. They'll cut you off. The stuff that I see is just this, it's more than just rudeness. It's more than just not being, you know, good parenting. It's really, there's something else going on there, where I feel like it has a lot to do with the internet and the phones. I feel like there's a lot of entities that ride the waves, and I feel that they are doing a real number on a lot of people today, and they love to destroy the youth, because that's where the light is, in the children, and they're the future. And if you can destroy them, you can destroy society. It's a horrible thing.
They talk about, and I believe this, that the internet is an electromagnetic conduit. And some people have described, some women have described that they meet someone online, and next thing you know, that person they met online is coming into their dreams and trying to astrally rape them, what have you. So
absolutely,
there's some
yeah.
Kind of portal aspect to the internet. And when you look at mediums like TikTok and what have you, it really promotes this narcissism and this lack of empathy and it's targeted at young people. And they don't have that empathy, they don't have that courtesy, they don't have normal manners like they used to. They're so self-absorbed that if they see someone dying, rather than trying to help the person, they break out their phones and like videotape somebody. It's in their death throes. It's really
shocking.
Bizarre. Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen that too. Some of those reels and stuff. And it is just amazing that they won't help a person that's laying in the road, but they will film them and share it. And yeah, I don't understand. I don't know what it takes, you know, to destroy a soul like that. You have to be, I guess that's the ultimate NPCs, right? Where they're just walking around soulless without empathy. And it's like you said, it goes way beyond just the narcissism and the self-absorption. It takes it to levels beyond that, because it's like a spiritual death. It's like they are empty walking around. And as the saying goes, nature abhors a vacuum. Well, guess what? The entities, you know, do as well. And if somebody is walking around empty, or they're completely allowed themselves to be overtaken by this garbage and had their brain sucked out, basically, then that will get replaced by negative things. And you'll see it, you know, you see them, how many of these TikTokers and stuff that you from time to time will see, that person canceled themselves, right? They, you know, they're not here anymore. You see things that they do things to hurt themselves. They do things that are very unnatural, you know, even in the way they will dress. I saw some thing on Twitter today of people dressed up as dogs with collars and leashes, and other people walking around, like walking them down a city street. And the ones dressed as dogs were, I didn't have dog costumes. They looked like people, but they had like knee pads on and hand protectors and stuff. And they were walking on all fours, crawling on all fours down the city street, and allowing themselves to be led by people with leashes around their neck. And I don't know what it takes to you know, there's a severe sickness that's happening. Because these things, we wouldn't have seen them 10 years ago or less even. We wouldn't have seen anything like this. And the newest thing now, I guess, is the diaper thing is coming back, where grown-ups dressing in, you know, wearing diapers. And there's a lot of fetishes. You see a lot of fetishes. And just there's a lot of, you know, the entities love the sexual stuff. They love it. And they the more twisted, the more perverted, the better. And they love to the waves of the internet, the, you know, porn. They love to capture that. They love to ride that particular medium. And you can pretty much guarantee that anyone who is involved in that has got attachments.
In the time we got left in this first segment, I'd like your thoughts about some of the things that are currently going on in Florida, Tennessee, the Appalachians, North Carolina. I saw a video. I don't think it was satire. It was this crazed leftist young woman just gleeful over the thought of what she considered all these sundowner people dying in North Carolina. She got it in her head that everyone who lives there is of necessity a racist and you know, like a Trumper or whatever. And so she put her humanity permanently on the shelf and was joyous at their suffering, right? So even the normal traits of human empathy, which we took for granted, the common courtesies you talk about, like I'm probably the only one that I've seen in the recent past to give up my seat, to, my train seat, to like an elderly person or a pregnant woman or something. In the old days, this is just what you did. You could be a big Harley biker, you know, a big tough guy with long hair, a concert shirt. It didn't matter. There were certain common courtesies and decencies. But now the lack of empathy is such that I mean, they just are happy about the demise and the suffering of all these people. So, yeah, just, you know, while in the time you got left in the first segment, just give me your thoughts about what you think is going on over there, the response, lack thereof. And also, I must say that, you know, the resilience and the strength of the human spirit of the communities coming together despite all this going on, I think is something remarkable.
Yeah, that is a beautiful thing to see. And I think I've said for a long time that the only way that we're going to get changes in this country is going to be through the grassroots, because anybody that thinks they're going to vote it in, or that their savior is, you know, that they vote for is going to come in and fix everything and save them is very sorely mistaken. I wish it wasn't true, but it is. And, with regard to those people, I saw a couple. I didn't see the one that you were speaking of on the internet, was lethal about the people dying, but I did see someone who was apparently terminated from their job, I heard later, because they got on there and they were thrilled that, you know, all these Trumpers were getting their comeuppance, and it was as if it was, you know, God. The inference was that if it was God that was doling out this punishment on these conservative people because they support Trump. And I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. It is, you know, there, you use a time when they used to say, well, you know, there's certain people that don't have a lot of empathy. It'd be personality disorders, or whether it be autism or other things like that. And you know, I'm sure you've known them. I've known them where they really don't have a lot of empathy, but they're kind of, you could tell they're a little bit different. But this is not the same. This is not a lack of empathy. It is a proliferation of evil, because there is no way that someone who, you know, lacks empathy is not going to have, I mean, just if you're just lacking because of your, you know, say you're autistic or whatever, you're not going to, have this hatred in, you know, it's just going to be sort of neutral. And these people can't be neutral. They are so hateful. And that is not a human characteristic. So anytime I see that, I know there's no question in my mind. I know that there is entity involvement there. And I mean, people pick it up everywhere. They pick it up from, you know, abuse, and they pick it up from, alcoholism, they, you know, all kinds of things. So in the internet, you know, is a big one, but it's everywhere, and it is gotten worse. And I think it's disgusting. What I follow Twitter pretty closely, and I've seen huge disparity between what the boots on the ground people are reporting about what's going on in the devastated areas that were devastated by Helene. And it has been shocking to watch day after day the White House speaking or gaslighting everyone, I should say, saying about how great the response has been and how much they've done. And then we find out that, gee, we don't have any more money and FEMA can't help you. And I mean, that is an absolute, that's a disgrace. That is evil. That is evil to allow the people of your own country to suffer like that and die. There is just no question about how aberrant that is. It is not normal. And it really frightens me to think about where we're going, you know, as a country, when there's people like that and so many in positions of leadership, they will allow that to go on and lie about it. And yeah, it's horrendous. And even some of these, we see some of these, people coming in that are supposed to be helping. And I saw several videos where these Blackhawks were coming in and rotor washing the staging areas that had all the stuff set up for people, you know, for their rescue and food and water and everything. And the people that had brought that in. And we're also hearing about people diverting, government people diverting and stealing these supplies and diverting them to the illegals in the area, which again, you know, that's another horrendous thing. So I just I think the whole thing is horrible, and I think this is a testament to the human spirit, that what we are seeing and in the grassroots. And my hope is that that energy, because it's a beautiful energy, is going to catch on and start kind of lighting a fire under people, so that those that haven't been, you know, completely taken over by the darkness are going to be able to see what it means to be a human being, what it means to be an American, what it means to love your neighbor, and to do all those, you know, to do the right thing, to help each other. And I mean, that's what we're supposed to do. So yeah, it has been a shock, and it's a real eye opener to see what's going on in the country, particularly when we are constantly informed about how much money is going overseas to various, you know, foreign aid initiatives.
And then so you see also the magical cards that the immigrants talk about, where the debit cards are topped up to 5 or 10 grand, the EBT cards never run out, free hotel, exactly. They get transported everywhere, they get free phones, they get a get out of jail card and commit as much crime as they want, right? And let's not forget what's happening in Wyoming. They're getting hammered, it seems, by directed energy weapons, gigantic fires in large parts of Wyoming. So the country basically is under attack, and the whole world by extension, which proves to my satisfaction this is an alien attack. Because if you look at how binary weapon systems work, they aerosolize the atmosphere with so many heavy metals, so the atmosphere itself becomes highly conductive. So when they start cranking up these frequencies and HAARP and scalar weapons, what have you, it makes it that much easier to generate hurricanes and maneuver them. And this is why, to me, that it's working in sync, because I'm satisfied. Some of the recent videos my colleague Jeff Brady has come up with, I've seen, he's got a video of an actual ring, what appears to be a ring leaving a chemtrail plume. That's not an airplane. That's something else. And
like
similar.
A portal?
Yeah, like a portal, but it's flying. Whoa. And then also videos of chem planes flying into a cloud bank, and then coming out the other end are like illuminated orbs and no plane. So point being is that clearly to me, at least a large element of the chemtrail aerosol spraying agenda is non-human in origin. So the fact that these human hybrids, reptilian human hybrids in these black ops science programs, tweaking the knobs, generating these storms and what have you, it's working in sync. So the aliens are laying the chem plumes, and there are soulless hybrids working the control panels, creating this effect that we're seeing now. So the good point about it, like you said, is the human spirit coming together. Well, we've reached the end of the first segment with our guest, Anna. If you feel so inclined, would there be a way for people to contact you, or would you rather have them contact me to try to reach you?
For now, I'm going to be setting up a website, and I haven't done that yet. So let's have them contact you if that's okay. And you can pass them on to me, and that'd be great.
Oh, cool.
And to have as soon as I have my site set up, I will let you know so that you can add it to the info.
And we still got another segment to go with Anna, and we're really going to dive into the meat of this stuff. For those of you who like what we do here at the Cosmic Switchboard Show, if you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please come to the cosmicswitchboard.com, sign up and become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment.